Hello, welcome to Spotlight, the sun of art in the rain of reality.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we head out into the wilds to hear about a wonderful new guide which explores some of the island's unknown wonders. Drop into Mother Moon's studio to get the lowdown on a forthcoming art exhibition in the Loom Gallery. And ex-poetry's Saoirse Coyle Carroll tells us more about her own journey into the world of verse. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you may be involved in planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, digital, calligraphy. We have them all, but there's more. Get in touch, Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com or spotlight@manxradio.com. I'm sure for every artist we feature here, there are at least another two who have never been featured, so why not get on to the programme and tell us what you're up to? So we all know the Isle of Man to be a wild and wonderful place with stunning scenery and rugged views. Well, it's just the House of Keys. Now, Wild Guide, Isle of Man, Hidden Places, Great Adventures and the Good Life has come out from Wild Things Publishing. It's the work of well-known local adventurer Andy North. And I tempted Andy into the somewhat domestic setting for him of the Spotlight Studio to tell me more about the guide and how it came about.
I had read some of the books by Wild Things Publishing in the UK, and if I'd, you know, I love a secret waterfall, a hidden beach, just interesting things. And I always, you know, before these guides existed, I would find a secret map that had maybe something hidden on it. And I loved a star that said secret waterfall or something. So I guess I've always had that fascination with exploring. And I suppose I've spent a lot of my life trying to find new places. But when these books came out, I started buying them. So that, you know, there's a wild guide for the southwest of England. There's one for the southeast. There's one for the Lake District and the Yorkshire Dales, and then more and more places. And then there's quite a few for Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved the way they were written. Really, it's lots of pictures.
Lots of great pictures to inspire people to get out there. Yeah. So you then approached to sort of say, right, how about one for the Isle of Man?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I wasn't particularly thinking, you know, that I was going to write it, but it was one of those, he said, well, I think that's a great idea. He didn't argue, and he said, no one knows anything about the Isle of Man, including me, and I'm amazed. So he said, that's the whole idea, is to show people what they maybe bypass.
So how did you actually go about doing it then, starting it? Did you have a sort of a structured, you know, you just start at the north of the island and move down, or was it a case of how did you go about the creative process of actually getting out there, getting the pictures, getting the, you know, the script down for all the various places contained within the book?
Well, it was pretty chaotic to start with, I think. I just kept exploring a bit more, you know, wherever the sun is, or wherever the light is, or wherever I was, I had an hour or two, or, you know, so I'd explore, maybe take some pictures, maybe make some notes, do some research on books, and then just get more and more until eventually we got to kind of the right sort of number for 450 entries. And then, yeah, the hard graft of spreadsheets and photos, and then seeing what's missing, and then editing, and then editing again. And yeah, that, I think that was a shock, because I wouldn't maybe have naturally had the perfectionist urges that are required for a book. But the editor, he has a team of people who check everything.
Did you do all the text and the photographs? Or
yes. I mean, I've got a few photos in there from a few friends and some from Visit Isle of Man.
Because you say it is visually stunning. Like I said, obviously there's the text and the links are there, but the photographs alone are the sort of thing that you think, oh, gosh.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I want to get out there and see that at these sort of places. And it's just things that a lot of people who probably have lived here all their lives wouldn't know were here.
Well, taking photos, I only really started. For the first 20 years of my life, I didn't believe in photographs. And so I've travelled all over the world without much evidence. And suddenly I just thought, well, people need, you know, people would love to go to this spot. Maybe if I show them a photo. I kind of just wanted to prove what was here. And I often thought that the photos of the Isle of Man, certainly, you know, in the 2000s, they didn't really represent the places, the wilder places I was going.
And I love the fact that actually, you know, at the beginning there, the book is divided up into various parts of the island, but you also have these subcategories of water and land and wildlife, or food, in fact, going out and eating, places you can sleep, and then things like, you know, amazing wildlife, bird life, scrambling, secret beaches, jumps or rope swings. You see, I haven't been on a rope swing for years. It has to be said.
Yeah, rope swings, hey. Yeah, well, I have put up quite a few rope swings in my life. I think, it's one of those things that gets younger people out into wilder places. And of course, that's what would have drawn kids outside. Mm. So I have put up quite a lot over the years. And various very wealthy landowners have probably done their very best to make sure there's not kids kind of playing outside. And lots of people go, oh, it'd be great for them to play outside. And then often it's not in my backyard. Thank you. So then you end up putting them in wilder places. And I remember Chris Gregory from Isle of Play.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, he was very keen on that idea as well. And in fact, his work is taking people, young people out, and just so that they can just play outside. And often a rope swing, they do exist in quite a few places, and I've put a few more dangerous than that have gone again. There was one from a sea cave so you could swing into the sea. But when I noticed rocks falling, yes, I was like, yeah, I think that one will have to go. So
maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. And the other thing is, it's just, I mean, this is the sort of book which does encourage people. You know, there'll be those who obviously do like going out and walking and exploring, but I think it's also aimed at those who perhaps don't go out so much, and trying to tempt people to get out, because I think it's well known now that spending time outside in connection with nature, whether it's walking or scrambling over the rocks or sea dipping or whatever, is, I mean, it's great fun, but it's also good for, you know, it's good for the soul, good for the health, good for mental well-being.
And there's more and more evidence. I mean, they spotted it quite a long time ago. I mean, Japan has been ahead because they had burnout from corporate culture a long time ago. You know, they call it forest bathing is where they go into a forest. They don't, it's nothing to do with, more like sunbathing isn't getting in the water. It's soaking it up, I suppose. So the atmosphere. And they did loads of research with universities and they found it of all of the things that they could do for busy, stressed executives that weren't very well, this was one of the most effective. And strangely, it's the same with the cold water. It's becoming one of the most effective ways to treat anxiety and depression. And so with a success rate that's just, I'm not saying all the other things are good, but, you know, if it works a little bit better than those, then it becomes even more popular. Mm. So there's a lot of secret beaches and waterfalls in this book.
But it's something we just don't do on a daily basis anymore, really, do we?
No, it is a shock how we've often hear the word, you know, like we need to protect something, you need to cherish it. Well, you can't really love what you don't know, and so it's kind of, you suddenly just fall in love with it all. And even I think the biggest invention is a little fold out seat, so that when you go out in the wild you can sit and just have a moment. It's not always just trying to get from here to there, because that's just one more thing that's I must get from here to there, I must accomplish. Well, sometimes it's better to just take your fold-out seat, get somewhere where you feel like stopping and contemplate.
Couldn't agree more. As I said earlier, and never truer than in our current times, the opening lines from W.H. Davies' poem Leisure, "What is this life of full of care? We have no time to stand and stare." It's what it's all about. And on the Isle of Man, there are lots of things to stare at when you're out and about. There are some spots Andy was showing me in the book I'd never even heard of. I'm definitely going to check some of them out. More from Andy next week.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
I heard from the accidental author Robert Cowley the other day with an update on his Manx Bedtime Book Project, a series of wonderful children's books, all with a life-based theme linked to a colour and an animal, all the proceeds going to charity. Well, Rob says he's been amazed at how well the books have sold, and he's been able to reach the £6,000 target from the recent Creative Writing Initiative so quickly. Funds have already been given out to all six charities, with the money helping with such things as I'll Listen's work in schools, breast cancer research and support, Lucas and a Wish family going to centre parks, helping towards the purchase of a much-needed special wheelchair for a paraplegic mum, and lots of other initiatives and worthy causes. Well, Rob says, I've no doubt that incorporating the excellent children's stories into my books played a big part in sales. Now, this followed the creative writing competition last year, in which the young winners had their works published in one of Rob's books. And he goes on to say, the wonderful Manx public have once again been very supportive. I tried to involve the youngsters in the big cheque presentations to acknowledge their positive contributions to the project, and included some great pictures of those cheque presentations. Thank you, he goes on, for the part you and Manx Radio have played in highlighting the Manx Bedtime Stories project, which has now raised over £12,000 for eight different Manx charities over the last 5 years. Amazing stuff. Well, you're very welcome, Rob. We're pleased to have played at least a small part in the book's success, though it's really all down to your great imagination and drive. As an accidental author, you've done rather better than some who set out to make it a career. And of course, all the money gone to those great causes. An inspiration to us all. Rob finishes by saying, I'm not quite sure what's happening next, but I will keep you informed of future project plans as and when I have them. I'm sure there's going to be more. We look forward to sharing them here on Spotlight. Well done, that man. Now, we heard about a new poetry project, Ex-Poetry, last week, the brainchild of poet Saoirse Coyle Carroll. It aims to bring open mic poetry nights to all sorts of cool venues around the Isle of Man in a friendly, receptive atmosphere for everyone, particularly those who might never have got up and recited before. Well, while she was in the studio, I asked Saoirse to tell us more about her own poetic journey. So you said your own poetry, I sort of throw words down onto the page. What started you off writing?
So actually, in school, I was absolutely petrified of poetry. I went to like a acting group with Carrie at Broadway, which I don't know if she still does it, but she would make us stand up and say other people's poems. And I always remember like Carol Ann Duffy and Maya Angelou and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, this is so powerful. Like, this can move an entire room from just something, from this little tiny prose piece, not even a whole play. So I always had massive respect for poets. And then I went to drama school, and there was a whole section in a couple of years where we had to do poetry, and I was like, no, I can't. There was like a block for me, I think, where I was like, I don't want to let it out, because it's just a bit scary. And then it was actually when I first moved home, so nearly 3 years ago, I just moved back from London. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? And I just started writing. And at the time, it wasn't even in like the format of poetry. It was just kind of just like literal word, kind of like journaling, I guess. But then I don't really know what happened. I think I was actually sat up by the lighthouse up by here, mm-hmm. and it was a gorgeous day, and I was just like, wow, I just felt affected. I know that sounds so woo-woo, but and then it does just kind of come out. Like, it's not like I don't do any sort of like writing guides or anything like that, and I think a lot of people do write like that. I actually went to a workshop that Stacey and Jordan held, and they did the poetry through the other way of like having something that affects you and then writing in a certain style, and I absolutely love that, and I think I'm going to start trying to write like that. But that's kind of how I started. It just kind of was word vomit for want of a better word. That's all I can come up with. Yeah.
And so you're writing now, do you feel now it is more sort of formalized, or is it still totally free form when you're actually, you know, putting the words down?
I think there's definitely still a free form to it, but I think I've found a groove with how I like to write. I think that I have like a pace, and I think my poems are very performative. Like, I think I write thinking about mm-hmm. the like performing them and how they will come out of like me. Mm-hmm. I think
and
if
would,
anyone
would you aim to rhyme or not? Would you?
No, not really. So it does tend to happen, as I think that's just ingrained in you that poetry is meant to rhyme. It does tend to happen, but it's more just like it's more lyrical and more. It's got a flow to it rather than having a structure, I think.
Do you feel inspired by any particular themes, whether it's something personal or the environment or home surroundings or relationships?
Yeah, I think a little bit of everything. Definitely personal, and relationships is a big one. I think I'm very influenced by the politics of the world, in terms of what's going on, what's gone on historically. I think I like to write because I feel like it's an easier way to get across what you want to say. Like I've written different things about stuff that's going on in the world currently, about being a woman, about being a girl in her 20s. So that sort of is my theme. It's like something that I relate to or I connect to. My poems don't tend to be comical, but they're not always like very sad or anything like that. I think I'm just not, I don't think of myself as a comic, so they never come out that funny, sadly, but you know.
If people want to find out more about the events coming up then with the Ex-Poetry, how do they go about that?
So we've got a Facebook, which is Ex-Poetry, and then there's also an Instagram, or you can find me, Saoirse, on anything. or I usually make sure to let the Manx Bard and Manx Lit Fest and the Isle of Man Poetry Society know if anything's happening. So if you can't find any of those, then probably going to there is your best bet to see. But yeah, we've got one at Foraging Vintners on the 8th of June, which is a Sunday, which I know is a school night, but it'll still be really fun. And then actually really brilliantly, Mad Jack's got in touch. And that's going to be an absolute fantastic venue as well. And that's going to be on the 18th of July. So that's a Friday night, which will be fab. So,
excellent. Perfect. Yeah. Well, you do write, of course. And whenever we have a poet in the studio, it all seems only fitting, perhaps, to end with a poem. Have you got one we could, we could hear today?
Yes, fab. This is a poem, like I said about before, about being a woman and sort of the history of the long line of strong women that I've come from and the strong women in my life. It's sort of an ode to them.
Does it have a title?
Yeah, Woman.
Well,
just Woman.
Straightforward.
Woman, full stop. Yeah. I am a woman, a Celtic, wild, quietly courageous woman. My soul connects to solstice, nature, and ancient cries. My heart beats with the seas, winds, rains, and tides. I am free to sing, shout, dance, and weep full of rage, love, spirit, and fury. I am grateful for those who came prior, for the women who fought for me, for the wild women who succeeded in reframing history, demanding more unapologetically, the women who smashed through endless glass ceilings, creating the space we stand in, freer than those before. We may be quietly courageous women, but make no mistake, we always have and will continue to roar. I'm standing proud on a mountain carved and built by the sacrifices of the many courageous, outrageous, audacious, strong women that came before. Thank you.
Lovely words, and the Ex-Poetry, a great idea. Look out for an event near you soon. Why not give it a go? You can find out more at Ex-Poetry on Facebook or Instagram, as Saoirse says. She's all over socials, so you can't miss her. Now, from lovely poetry in the broadcast studio to lovely art in an artist's studio.
Okay, we have headed out west, or down west, up west, depending which way you're heading, I guess. and coming over to Gibb Lane, just off Gibb Lane, come to a wonderfully eclectic studio, which I must have walked past 100 times, never actually been in before. So I'm here with the artist within.
Hi, Howard. My name's Laura Espinosa Moon, so I'm here in the studio and... yeah, it's a really lovely place. We've been here for 5 years now, built up a really good following. We meet every Thursday morning. It's a hive of creativity, so I feel extremely lucky to be here. And we're starting an exhibition really soon at the end of June. at the Hodgson Loom Gallery. So really excited, I'd like to speak about that, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Now, just you say we, so who is we and who are the other artists we're talking about here?
So we're called the Thursday Painters. So we meet every Thursday morning, and it's sort of the idea was really born because we've actually got so much work, you wouldn't believe it. Like, we're really prolific over the last 5 years. We've had so many different themes, from Impressionism to Scandi art to Australian Indigenous art, from all over the world, even things like just painting what we see, painting the streets of Peel. You name it, we've done it. But we've just sort of realised we've got so much work that we'd really like to show it off. So we're 10 painters, and we're all middle-aged women, basically, apart from one young lady who's a little bit younger than us.
But it's all women, no men.
It's all women, actually, funny enough.
Was that by design?
Do you know what? We really did try to get some men to join us, but unfortunately it's just turned out to just be women. I say unfortunately, we have a tremendous laugh, and it's brilliant just the way it is, actually. So yeah, there's 10 of us. Just to tell you a little bit about how those 10 people work together. So we've got about 4 of us are professional artists who sell regularly. We've got Joanna Louis. She's got a studio down at Grenaby, and she's a ceramicist mostly, but she started painting with us over the last couple of years, and she's absolutely wonderful company. And her work is beautiful. So we've got Joanna Louis. We've got Kathy Craig Art. She's become a fantastic painter over the last few years, really gained confidence in what she's doing. She's done some murals in Ramsey that are now currently on display. And we've also got art by Ali. Ali Foster also has a studio at Grenaby as well. And she can paint anything. She's so talented. Her work's very ethereal. But she can also do an absolutely amazing impressionist painting, very similar to Van Gogh. So all of our painters are very talented. And there's myself, I sell regularly as well. I paint seascape abstracts mostly. And then we've got intermediate painters that have been here for a couple of years, exploring their skills and building on them every week. And then also we've got total beginners as well that have joined us. And really, everybody's equal. We're all support each other, and it's a non-competitive environment. So we're showcasing what we do.
Brilliant. So like a sort of cooperative, almost, or sort of a commune, maybe. I don't know. Great idea. How long has it been going, do you say?
It's been going for 5 years. The group's changed a little bit. As I say, we have had a gentleman or two over the years, but yes, it has turned into mostly female group of artists. And it's really settled into a really wonderful thing now. So it's even more than just the paintings. It's a lot of friendships have grown up from the group, and we also do things socially as well. So there's a lot of good friends there too.
And what's your background? Did you train in art?
Yes, I've always been an artist, but I've been one of those people that needed to move to London, bit of a jack of all trades. I've done all sorts of things like sales and marketing. I've run pubs in London for about 5 years, all over Shoreditch and very trendy areas. And yeah, so I've done lots of different jobs, but I did train in art. Yes, I did an art degree. It was called then the Surrey Institute of Art and Design. I think it's actually changed names now, but it was down in Farnham. And I think the disciplines change over the years, but for me, the interest at the time was architecture. So I did a degree in interior design, interior architecture.
So tell us a bit more about this exhibition coming up then. So it's over other side of the island at Laxey with Julia at the Loom Gallery. All 10 of the women involved here all exhibiting in all different media?
It's mostly painting, actually, but expressed in so many different ways. So it's just going to be a really colourful, really exciting visual display. We've all got really diverse and different styles. So mostly painting, so mostly 2D work. But then we do have some ceramic work from our very lovely Joanna Louis as well. So that'll be a nice contrast to the paintings.
And the women who actually sort of come round here, as you say, is it you literally sort of get together, do you? And it's a great space we're sitting in here now, a wonderful long table spattered with paint and paintings. We're surrounded by paintings all round here in the studio and incense in the air. It's got a great sort of arty vibe. Is it, do people have their sort of own inspiration when they come, or do you sort of discuss a theme? How does that work?
We do normally have a theme, a monthly theme, and we're sort of very relaxed about it because I sort of think that this is their time. People have paid for this time, all the materials are included, etc. So if they're not feeling the theme that we're doing, I think they should follow their own theme. I think that's much more creative than just blindly following somebody else's theme. So, they can either follow our theme, follow their own theme, or if they're a little bit stuck for inspiration, we have absolutely heaps of reference images as well to help them, of all different styles. There will be something to inspire them in this room.
If people want to find out more about your work or about Mama Moons or whatever, can they go online? Where's the best place?
Best place is just to go straight onto Facebook if you can. So it's Mama Moons Art Studio. Drop me a message if you'd like to know more, but we have regular posts every week on a Thursday about what we've been up to. But we're just about to release the poster really soon for the exhibition at the Hodgson Loom. Julia's kindly organising a poster for us. And just for your diaries, the exhibition's going to open Sunday the 22nd of June between 2 and 4. Everybody's invited. We're going to have some absolutely wonderful art. Come down and support us. Have a glass of something. There's going to be nibbles as well. We'd love to see you. Come and support us and maybe even invest or buy a beautiful piece of original artwork from one of your local artists.
It's such a lovely space. We look forward to the exhibition at the Loom Gallery next month. We will, of course, drop down for a little walk around. And we hope to hear more about what Laura is up to and Mama Moon in the near future. That exhibition again opens on the 22nd of June. That's about it for now. I'll be back next week when we'll be hearing about a new book on the Laxey Mines Railway, among other things. See you then, and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hey, Moo.